Appreciate you guys so much. All right, hallelujah. If you have your copy of God's Word tonight, if you'll turn to, you go to book of Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah 58, I'm sorry. Go to Isaiah 58, and Brandon, if you could bring the house lights just up just a little bit, I get a little bit of a glare off us, and praise the Lord. I want to read a couple of other verses of Scripture to you, and they're Scriptures you should write down, of course, because I'll be using them tonight, but they can be used as a reference tonight. And, you know, the book of Matthew chapter 6, when it's an interesting chapter because it gives us three commands or three directives that Jesus gives us in Matthew 6. And in Matthew 6, he says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And so it's interesting that Jesus used those three analogies in his teaching to the disciples. A lot of it had to do with hypocrisy, misrepresentation. And so in Matthew 6, he's talking about when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. Those are three principles that he talked about. And it's interesting because why did he choose those three particular principles? And part of the reason, I believe, is because all three of those principles represent self-reliance, could easily become self-reliant. Every one of those areas of our life, we can come to the place to where we become self-reliant on ourselves instead of self-reliant on God, instead of reliant on God. And so, in other words, you know, when we talk about, when he says, when we give, it represents an unselfishness. And when we give, we represent God. So when we give to the poor, we represent God. When we give, we represent God. What does it do? It breaks down our self-reliance on ourself, and it makes our reliance on God. How many know it's good to make sure that your reliance is on God and not on your own strength? But when we give, we represent God. So when we give, what we do is we're blessing, we're giving, we're releasing. We're God in the earth when we give, when we sow. And so as a reward, God gives back, right? And so thank God for the principle of sowing and reaping. God gives back. When we pray, we begin to know God because prayer helps us know God. So when we give, we represent God, but when we pray, we know God. It's one thing to know of God. It's another thing to know God, right? And so prayer takes us into the realm of knowing God. In other words, it takes us to the place, there are a lot of people that know about God. There's a lot of people that experience God, feel God. But it's one thing to know God. And the avenue that God has given us to know Him is through prayer. And to know Him means that we're not dependent on ourselves, but dependent on God. We know His ways. And then when it says to fast, what does that mean? When we fast, we see God. So when we give, we represent God. When we pray, we know God. But when we fast, we see God. And you say, well, how does that happen? What happens is when you begin to reign in your flesh, all of a sudden the flesh is diminished and the spirit is heightened. And when the Spirit of God has reigned over our lives, we begin to see God. We begin to see things like God sees them. We begin to hear them like God says them. Our perceptions become right. Our antenna to heaven begins to line up. And so we come into this place to where we begin to see God. So all three of those have, now it's very easy that in every area of those lives we can become self-reliant. We can become self-reliant in our giving, which means that if we don't give and we hoard back, it means that we become reliant on ourselves and we don't trust God to take care of us. When we don't pray, we don't know God. We become self-reliant on what? on our own wisdom, right? Our own understanding, our own instruction, our own desire to know. And when we don't fast, what happens is our flesh at times can overtake us. And we become reliant on our flesh. We'll be driven by our flesh, driven by our passions, driven by the things that our flesh desires. And they can literally overrun our spirit, and we can get into the place to where our flesh becomes in control and our spirit is not in control. And so all three of those areas, we can become self-reliant. I don't want to be self-reliant tonight. I want to depend on God, totally depend on God. And so fasting and prayer has always been a major part of my Christian life. I have no idea what your experience is in fasting and praying over the years, how it's been taught to you, how in churches that you have experienced it. It's been a part of every major decision that I have ever made in my Christian life. Everything that I've done, every major decision I have made in my life had always involved, fasting and prayer was involved in my life. And so, of course, we live in a day when many Christians don't even involve God in their life, let alone fast and pray to God, right? I mean, we have a disconnect where people will associate with God, but God's really not involved in the decisions that they make in their life. I mean, how often are we seeing in our day where people are not even involving God's word in the decisions that they make or the choices that they make in life? And so, prayer and fasting. You know, there were three major points in my life where prayer and fasting made a huge difference in my life. The first major decision that I made in my life in prayer and fasting, that before I asked my wife to marry me, I had gone on a 7-day fast. Not before I asked her to marry me. I prayed to see if she was the right one to marry. And I had gone on a 7-day total fast, and I had been praying. I've been praying, God, you have to show me, is this the wife that you have for me? And so I had sought God and sought him for those 7 days. I had prayed and fast. I asked that he would reveal to me that she was the right one. And sure enough, God revealed to me that she was the right one. And I made a pretty good choice. Would y'all not agree? I mean, we're going to be married 24 years, so how many know that that's a pretty good choice, right? And so I wasn't driven by my flesh, right? Now, I could have very easily have been, because my wife is a beautiful woman. And believe me, when we dated, she was attractive. I was attracted to her. But I knew in order to get the will of God, I had to not live by the flesh, but I had to get God's mind on the thing, right? Because it doesn't matter how pretty they may be. It doesn't matter how, I won't even go there. The fact is, you can make the wrong choice. If you live by the flesh, you can make the wrong choice, right? Huh? And just ask Lot, right? Just ask Lot. And there are things that can look pleasing on the outside, but it's what matters that God is doing and working on the inside that makes a difference. And so it was a major turning point in my life. I was taught that. When we were pastoring in Arkansas, I shared with the class Tuesday night that God led me, and I've always done a corporate fast as long as I've been a Christian. And I've always tried to not make it a religious thing. When we were in Arkansas, we had gone to that church, and when we got there, we started with 100 people when I got there. The church had been through a split. People were mad. They didn't even like each other. People that sat on the right didn't like the people that sat on the left. And I had to walk into that as a young preacher. And, I was in the middle of that. And there was all this kind of stuff going on. But God, through prayer and fasting, all of a sudden in 1 year, we just exploded. And we grew from 100 to where we were running close to 250 on Sunday morning in just a short period of time. And what happened was is that God spoke to me that in January we were to do a fast, and I was to have a healing service. And we had gone on a fast. I did a total 21-day fast. Now, I messed up because I ended up in the emergency room, because what happened was in the middle of that fast, I decided I was going to referee basketball games. And so I had been on a fast for 15 days, and I started refereeing basketball 2 nights a week. That was not good. My potassium levels dropped, and I about passed out. and I had to go drink a bunch of Gatorade and stuff like that, and it almost killed me. I didn't have any sense and didn't have any sense to know better. But I was totally in for God. I thought, well, God's taking care of me. And, you know, there was a time when common sense just kind of flew out the window. How many know you got to have a little common sense when you fast? And so, but what happened was we got in there on that Sunday morning, that healing service. The church was so packed. There were so many people that needed prayed for. We had to put chairs all around the front. And people would limp up to the front and sit. And even before we would begin to pray or worship would start, people would begin to weep. The presence of God hit that building the night before. Not that morning, the night before. And all of a sudden, the presence of God hit that building. And I've never seen an array of the supernatural be displayed like it was that morning in that church. We had a man that was on a kidney transplant list, liver transplant list. He was green. He walked around green and yellow. That's what his color in life was. And he was close to death. He had been on that list for a long time. His name was Randy. And he came up, and we prayed for him. We've been praying for him. And when we laid hands on him, God just touched him. Would you know that within a month, he was completely healed and taken off the transplant list? His life had been given back to him, and God had touched him and had moved in a supernatural way. Not only that, we had the county drug addict get saved that morning. She was a dealer. She was a drug dealer. She was a drug addict. She was the influence of that area. She'd made tons of money selling drugs. She came into the church that morning and got saved. God changed that girl's life and healed her. And for the next 6 weeks, she brought more people to church than the people that were there in church. She brought all her rowdy friends in. All them messed up folks that were on drugs, she brought in. God saved her and changed her. Matter of fact, part of her family was in that church. They became so mad that she got saved. They couldn't take it. They said, you can't have that nasty old woman in here in this church, all that she's done. Oh, now, how in the world can Jesus forgive somebody, but you can't forgive somebody? How many know that his grace can get into some people's lives, but you don't give them the grace to allow God to work in their life? They brought more people to church. She brought more people to church than they had brought the church in the 25 years that they had been going to church there. Now, go figure that deal out. I'll tell you what it was, but we won't go there. But God moved. He touched people. And it was a sign of fasting and prayer. But it was only a sign to come of some of the things that would come later. But God moved. God showed me the power of fasting and prayer. I remember back in 2006, I was working for a foundation repair contractor. I know that when I applied to this church, some folks had wondered why was there such a gap in my resume from 2004 to 2008. Kind of became an issue. Let me tell you, God did more in me in 2004 to 2008 than what I had done in the previous 15 years in ministry. I'll just tell you that right now. God worked, used me and worked through me in those 4 years more than any Bible college training I had ever gotten in my life. It was 2006 and we were in the middle of a fast. And I was working as a foundation repair contractor. I got called to this house up in D.C. It was in Arlington, Virginia. It looked out over the Potomac, and I walked into this beautiful home that's set up high on the ridge that looked out over the Potomac and into D.C. And there was this lady. She was in her 60s, young 60s, just the sweetest lady. Me and her just began this conversation. When I walked into that house, I felt the presence of the Lord in that house. She didn't have to tell me she was born again. I knew she was born again because the Spirit of God hit me when I walked into that building. I was in the middle of a fast, and I felt the presence of God when I walked in there. I got into there, and I didn't say anything, and I introduced myself to her. We were just talking. She said, where are you from? And I told her I grew up in northern Kentucky from Cincinnati. She said, well, my son lives in Cincinnati, and he runs a thing where he does all the festivals, and he cooks pigs and all this. He's got this travel festival thing that he does. He's a chef, and he does all the roast pigs and all that. So we were talking about that, and we got to talking and just sharing. And I didn't unveil my identity. I didn't let her know that I'd been in ministry. I didn't let her know that I was been a pastor, was going to be, and she turned to me and she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? Just like that. She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, well, I used to be. She said, oh, honey, there's never a used to be. You always, once you are, you always are. And she was just adamant. She said, you know what? When you came in here, the Lord spoke to me. And she began to prophesy over me. And she said, let me tell you, all that the devil's stolen, God's going to give back. God's doing a work in you. You're going to begin to see a renewal and refreshing in your life. I went out of there without even the purpose that I came there for. I was so tore up in God. It was such a divine appointment. We never did repair her house. But she became such a friend. She was an intercessor for the Washington Redskins. Her and Joe Gibbs were good friends. She prayed for Joe Gibbs all the time. And that he would call her with prayer needs for the team. And she led Bible studies and for the wives of the Redskins. And she did all that. And she was an intercessor. And she would go out to that back door and she'd pop those bay windows out that looked out over Washington, D.C. And you could see the Capitol. And you could see the monument. And you could see the shore there, Alexandria and the Reagan Airport to the right. And she said she'd stand there and she'd reach her hands out and she would pray. And she'd say, God, touch this nation. God, touch it. So she was an intercessor, a prayer, an intercessor. And so she spoke over my life. And what it did was, I told them last night, that it brought, when I was fasting, my flesh became weak and my spirit became high. And it began to balance my life again. And I got hope back in my life for the purpose of God that was in my life. And she spoke that prophetically and it balanced my life again. Gave me hope for ministry. Gave me hope to what God had called me to do. So I'm here to tell you tonight that fasting works. Fasting changes lives. Fasting can change a life. I want to read to you what Andrew Murray said in his book. He said, With Christ in the School of Prayer is his book that he wrote. He said this quote in there. He said, prayer needs fasting for its full growth. Prayer is like one hand with which you grasp the invisible. Fasting is the other hand with which you let loose and cast away the visible. He said, and then he went on to say, and he said, giving up eating, which I truly enjoy, made me more aware of my weakness in contrast to God's strength. And that's what he said in his book. He said, prayer is important with fasting because what prayer does, it reaches up and it grabs the unseeable, what you can't see, and pull it in. And what fasting does, it releases the visible. It releases the flesh. It releases the desires of the flesh. And it puts you into position to where now your weaknesses now become God's strengths. And God can use them in your life. And so fasting works. Fasting makes a big difference in our life. Prayer and fasting. Fasting is closely to prayer and to reading of the Word. When you read through the Scripture, you will see that fasting is always connected to prayer and to the reading of the Word. Very rarely do you not see fasting mentioned where there's not the mention of prayer or the mentioning of the reading of God's Word. Nehemiah, when he assembled the people to fast and pray, it said they got together to fast and began to read the Word of the law when they got themselves together. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about that with a husband and wife, that they are to always be together except for a season of time of prayer and fasting. And so many places in the Scripture, there's hundreds of them, where you read prayer and fasting go together. You will see that there's a connection. Corporate fasting in Scripture is interesting. We'll go to Ezra in just a little bit, or I read from Ezra a little bit. But the Bible said Ezra proclaimed a fast. And when he proclaimed a fast, so that they could fast and beseech God corporately as a group. I didn't know this, but as I was reading through the book of Acts 27, the Bible says that Paul, while he was on the ship, before it became shipwrecked, the Bible said that those men refused to eat for 14 days. I believe Paul called a fast on that ship. I believe that Paul was on that ship knowing that ship was going to wreck. And I believe that with those Roman soldiers and with that centurion and with all those that was on that ship, those 270 men that was on that ship with Paul, I believe for 14 days Paul called a fast. I believe, and so because we know that when at the end of that, Paul said, hey, after this, now that you can eat. In other words, it was a willfulness of not eating. And so it may have been a fast that Paul had called. And maybe that spared their life and saved their life from shipwreck. And maybe fasting can help bring a breakthrough in your life, in my life. Fasting, the act of fasting itself, it doesn't have much spiritual value in itself, okay? If you fast without praying and the reading of the word, you're just dieting. How many know that that's what that is? You're just dieting. You might as well just be on a diet if you're not going to fast and read the word. Isaiah chapter 58 is the chapter of the cry aloud, a call to fast, in which this call to fast was made. And as Isaiah 58, when you read through there, this contrast that Israel, that through this contract between the act of fasting and obligating God to move. When you read the first part of Isaiah 58, God rebukes them because they go through the motions of fasting. They go through the act of fasting, but their hearts are not in it. Their hearts or their passions are not there. It's a religious motion. When you look at Isaiah 58 and you read verses 3 through 5, why have we fasted, they say? You have not seen. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all our labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out the sackcloth and ashes? Why would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? The Lord rebuked them. They looked to God and say, God, we fast. Why have you not noticed? God, we have fasted. Why have you not heard from us? In other words, God, we have laid our heads low and we have put on sackcloth and we've gone through the motions and you have not heard us. You have not responded to us. God says, that's not a fast. God said that you in the midst of your fasting, that in the midst of your fasting, you're doing all these other things in the midst of it. You have strife and division and debate. You're using the fist of your wickedness in the midst of it. You're not fasting. You're just putting and going through the motions. You're just going through the act of fasting. So fasting itself, the act of fasting, is not necessarily a spiritual value unless you begin to add prayer to it and begin to add the fact of prayer and the reading of God's word is what gives fasting its power. God responds to a heart that's seeking after God, the attribute of the heart that seeks Him. God responds to the hungry people that are responding to God. Listen, our fast should be a fast that cries out to God. Our fast should be a heart that seeks God and want to know God, hear God, see God, know Him, and to feel His presence. Joel 2:12 says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with your heart, fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. In other words, a heart, it makes a difference in how we fast. The attitude makes a difference in how we fast. Now I begin reading this, and I begin seeing something. As I begin to read this and read this verses of Scripture, beginning in verse 6 and 7, I begin to see this. Look at verses 6, and let's read through verse 6 and 7. It says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Now God says, look, you did it your way, but here's the fast I've chosen. God said, to loose the bonds of the wicked, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them and hide yourself from your own flesh? In other words, God says, this is the fast I call. Listen, the whole purpose of a fast, number one, is to this. The whole purpose we fast in these 21 days, the first thing is that, one, we bring glory to God. We fast not to bring glory to us, not to bring glory to our church. We fast to bring glory to God Himself. That's why we fast. How do we do that? When we fast, we bring glory to God. God can work in or through us, as He did there in verses 6 through 7. What did it say? This is the fast that I've chosen. When you have turned your whole heart to me, when you've given me and fast, how do you glorify me? By allowing me to work through you. We glorify God in the fast by allowing God to work through us. That glorifies God. Well, how do we do that? 6 and 7 tells us how we do that. We do that, why? Because we loose the bonds of the wicked. We undo the heavy burdens of people. We let the oppressed go free. We break every yoke. We share bread with the hungry. Hallelujah. And we bring to His house the poor and cast down. And when we see the naked, we cover them. What is God doing? He's working through us. God said the purpose of the fast is so that I can work through you. How do we know the fast will work? I'll tell you how you know that the fast that we've went on this year brings glory to God. It'll bring glory to God if we release the burden of the yoke that is on people's lives. If we heal the brokenhearted, set people free, clothe the naked, minister to those that are hungry, and share our bread with them. That's God working for through us. And if God can work through us, then He gets the glory for that. And so we glorify God. We give God glory by allowing God to work through us. Secondly, we glorify God by allowing God to be seen in us. Right, I'm going to go preaching in a minute. I know there's only 10 of us here, but that's all right. I'm still going to preach like there's 500. That God can be seen in us. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says this, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall bring forth speedily." My, that's good news. Your light shall break forth like the morning. God says that when you fast, the purpose of fasting, how do we bring glory to God? We bring glory to God by others seeing God in us, right? And it said, "And your light shall break forth like the morning." Have you ever just met people you just knew God was working in their life? Because there was just a light that came through that shined out of their life and the way that they lived and the way that they loved God and honored God. And God says that light will shine forth. It'll shine, break forth, and healing will spring forth. "And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be seen in your rear guard." In other words, once you've been somewhere and you have left it, the glory of God still remains. The effects of it still remains. Wouldn't it be great that in 2015 that everything that we as a church put our hand to, that when we leave it or let it go, that the glory of God still remains, there's still effects of it, there's still change in people's lives. Whether we go down and clothe people, we can clothe people, and when we leave, they say, "Thank God for River Valley Community Church. They clothed us, and God's glory will follow us all over this city." It'll be our rear guard, be our protection. It'll be our rear guard. And when the enemy tries to sneak up on us and we don't see the enemy, God's glory is our rear guard. He pushes back the enemy when we don't see. Listen, let me tell you what fasting and prayer will do for us. Fasting and prayer will keep us from being blindsided by the devil. It won't give the devil permission to come in and just do whatever he wants to do in the midst of this congregation. When you fast and pray, and you decide you're going to be a place to where God's going to be seen in us, you get to the place to where God has your back, to speak in street terms. Yo, man, God's got your back. Huh? Isn't it good? That's what fasting will do. It'll prepare us to where the devil can't steal what God has already done. And he can't sneak up on us and blindside us with something stupid to try to destroy what the what God is doing in this fellowship. I proclaim that in Jesus' name, even right now, as a body and as a church. The glory of God shall be your rear guard. "Then you shall call and the Lord will answer." Ha ha. Woo! Just call and he'll answer. Ha ha. Woo. "You shall cry and he shall say, 'Here I am.'" In your distress, God shows up. When you get to the place to where when you fast right and it's about bringing glory to God, you can walk through anything, call out to God, and he says, I'm here. You don't have to call three times, four times, five times. You don't have to spend 6 months trying to get people right so that the glory of God can fall. Just mention his name. And all of a sudden, he says, I am here. Oh, for the day in this church when we come in on a Sunday morning and we're so in tune with God that when we begin to call his name, all of heaven all of a sudden stops and says, oh God, they're mentioning your name again. You might want to show up down there because they're faithful down there. Wouldn't that be an honor for God to show his presence in this place every time we just called his name? When you said Jesus or when you said God, he showed up. Answered prayer, his presence would come in to this place and show up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is seen in us. Oh my Lord. In other words, what happens is when we fast and we give glory to God and God is seen in us, all of a sudden there's no competition. There's no jealousy. There's no, there's none of that comparativeness that happens. Compare. The Bible says he who compares himself with someone else is not wise. Because we remove that. And when we remove that, God can begin the work. And then thirdly, we see in verses 11 through 20, not only does God can God work through us, not only can God be seen in us, God can lead us in a fast, after a fast. Look at verses 11. Look at the promise that he's given. He says, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Isn't that good news? Did you realize a fast could position us to the place that when we go through the dry places of our lives, we still have water even though the place is dry? We still have access to God in the waste places. Verse 12, those from whom you shall build the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. My goodness, God, show your glory on us. Let your glory fall on us to where we find your perfect will. When you fast, God can position us for his perfect will. When we fast and pray, and when we do the right kind of prayer, we understand that God's going to get the glory for everything that we do, everything he does in us, everything he does through us. God's going to get the glory. He can position us for his best and his perfect will. Think about this for a minute. How many churches you think today operate in the place that is outside God's will? In other words, they're operating, but are they operating in God's will? What fasting and prayer can do for us is position us for God's perfect will for our life. Where we become the church that God wants us to be. That God wants us to become. And that God would like us to be. I think sometimes, pardon me if I can say this, but I think sometimes we spend so much time trying to make the church like we want it. And we want to make it like we want it to be. When really we should make it like God wants it to be. Like Christ wants it to be. Like he wants the church to be. And so fasting is not an event, but it's transformational turning point in our life. They were treating the fast as though it was a religious activity. God said this thing can be a transformation in your life. You know, fast can bring a turning point in your life. I mean, just like the testimonies I read to you or shared with you about my own life, I'm sure you have your own. Fasting can turn things on a dime in your favor. It could change your life, your home, your job, your finances, your family. Fasting can turn, and God is even working now in this corporate fast as a church. What is God going to do through us? What miracle will God perform throughout the year because we've given him the first fruits of our year and fasting and praying? What will God do for us down the road that he'll be our rear guard that we might not have seen coming? And though we have fasted now, God has surrounded us with his protection to keep us and watch over us and to protect us from everything the devil may throw and shoot at us. It's a transitional point. Listen, let me tell you what fasting can do. Fasting can create new rhythms in your life. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I've known people that gone on and was serious about a fast, gone on to fast, and because they spent time in prayer every day, all of a sudden out of that fast, it became a habit and it changed, and they all of a sudden developed a prayer life. They started reading the Word of God, and the Word of God all of a sudden became a rhythm in their life that wasn't there before because they read the Word of God through a fast. How many know your health can change on a fast? You know, one of the benefits, of course, is the health. And, fast can change the way we live. Only diet can change the way we look, right? But a fast will change the way you live. And I heard someone say today, it was interesting, that every Christmas they conceive a Christmas baby. And then they look forward to the fast because that through the fast they lose their Christmas baby that they get every Christmas by the food they eat during Christmas. I thought that was interesting. How many know that the whole purpose of a fast is not just that you can lose weight? I mean, that's a benefit. That's one of the benefits that come. But I'm not interested in just losing weight. I'm interested in touching God. I'm interested in the fast because I don't want the reward of just losing weight, right? Because if you get the reward of just losing weight, then all you did was, yeah, you've lost some weight. But I'm looking for a greater reward, a reward of a relationship with God like I have not known or had experienced before, to experience God and to know God in a deeper way, to hear His voice clearly, to be more sensitive to Him and what He says and what He does, to have my flesh come into subjection to Him and His Word, and so that I can live in a realm that's not all about me, but all about Christ. I can live in the realm where my sensitivity to the moving of the Holy Spirit is up, and that God can use that sensitivity to change my life and to change those lives that are around me, to change lives that I'm involved in and lives that come in contact with us and come in contact with this fellowship. I'm going to close with this. I love Psalm 69:10. It's one of the verses of Scripture that I wanted to read tonight. David said, I wept and chastised my soul with fasting. In other words, David said this. The word chastising means to discipline. And so it wasn't that David was dealing with sin. He was dealing with the flesh. And what fasting does at times, we have to deal with the flesh. We have to chastise the flesh. It means to discipline it. It means to bring it into subjection. It means to bring it to a place of where, you know, it's subjected to His Word, subjected to God. It means to purify, to refine, to improve, to clarify, to discipline, to chastise the soul. It means to chastise your will and your flesh so that your spirit can be heightened in God. So the spirit, listen, you have, sometimes David said, I spoke to my soul. I chastised my soul. And David spoke to it. Why? He spoke to it because sometimes we just have to say, devil, my flesh and my will is not going to run my life. God's spirit is. God's going to run my life. My flesh is not going to run my life. God's spirit is going to run my life. And so fasting puts us into position. Position to receive God. Fasting's focus is not on the food, but it's on separation. And God's separating us out. Why? Number one, so that God can have the glory in everything that we do. Now, wouldn't you like to bring glory to God through our fast and just honor Him? That's why we do it, right? Not for anything else, but to honor Him. Stand with me tonight, if you would. Let's just stand tonight and just pray a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm going to pray for you and pray for strength that whatever God has asked you to do on this fast, that you'll have the strength to carry it out, strength to fulfill it. That God will break the self-reliance in your life through your giving, through your prayer and through your fast, and that you'll be able to represent God through your giving, to know God through your prayer, and to see God through your fast. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah, God. We love you. Hallelujah. Father, the Bible says that Cornelius began to fast and pray. And God, you gave him a vision. You gave him a vision of a Gentile showing up at his house. And his commitment to fasting and prayer literally turned the Gentile world. Peter showed up and went to the home of a Gentile, which previously he thought was unclean. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God fell on that meeting. And because of that, the Holy Spirit was introduced to the Gentile world. So, Father, we stand here tonight that if Cornelius had not fasted and prayed, maybe the Holy Spirit never would have reached the Gentile world. We have no idea. But, Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of men and their prayers. And so, Father, help us tonight. Help us to be strengthened through this time of fasting and prayer. Help us that when our body seems to be weak and we struggle with those weaknesses, it's a reminder that we need God's strength. Areas that I'm weak and that come before me as I fast, I know will be a sign that I need God's strength. And so, Father, as we fast and as we give up meals and give up portions of our life and the delicacies that we so many times enjoy in our food, I pray, Father, that as we give those things up, that God, when we realize the weaknesses that come when we don't satisfy our flesh, that God, you'll be our strength in the midst of that. And I just pray over your people. Keep us safe, God. Watch over our fellowship. May your glory always be glorified in this fellowship. May you always be lifted up and Jesus always seen. Let us not make this religious like they tried to make it. And let us call the fast that God calls us to so that we can see the brokenhearted mended, the unsaved set free. Be our rear guard, O God. May your glory follow us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.